Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up to the sunlight with your windows open. Don't hold in your anger or leave things unspoken. Wear your red dress, use your good dishes, make a big mess and make lots of wishes. And have what you want, but want what you have. And don't spend your life looking back. Turn up the music, turn it up loud. Take a few chances, let it all out. 'Cause you won't regret it, looking back from where you have been. It's not who you knew, it's not what you did, it's how you live. So go to the ball game, and go to the ballet, and go see your folks more than just on the holidays. Kiss all your children, and dance with your wife. Tell your husband you love him every night. And don't run from the truth, you can't get away. No, no. And just face it, and you'll be okay. Turn up the music, turn it up loud. Take a few chances, let it all out. 'Cause you won't regret it, looking back from where you have been. It's not who you knew, it's not what you did, it's how you
everyone, and thank you so much for joining me this evening on this Friday, 4 days before Christmas. My name is Michael, and I will be your show host for the next 1 hour. And you are listening to Exposed But Never Forgotten on the Patriot Families Radio Network. And I would like to thank them so much for allowing me this time to be able to share and worship Jesus Christ for the last several programs, I think five to be exact, we have talked a lot about prayer, because I believe that prayer is probably one of the most important things that you can have in your life. It creates a strong relationship with God, and it will help to make you a better person so that you can do God's work that much better. Although tonight we are going to be talking about something just a little bit different, and I think you may find this program quite incredible. Please stay tuned here as I take 1 minute and play a musical entree before we get into our program. Yes, indeed. That's what it's all about, my friends. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ and having it closer to your heart. Because it's not what you've done in your life. It's not who you know. But it's how you live your life. We're going to start off here with a segment from Dr. David Jeremiah about the New World Order and Christianity, and I think you will find this quite interesting. So here we go for the next 20 minutes with Dr. David Jeremiah.
But for all of its good intentions, the United Nations, since its inception, has been an example of bureaucracy run amok. It is overrun with fraud and pointless debates and international mismanagement and ludicrous behavior. For instance, in 2005, under the Secretary General Kofi Annan, the United Nations had been charged with investigating human rights abuses in member nations. In 2006, the Human Rights Commission was put together, including these members: Sudan, Zimbabwe, China, Russia, and Saudi Arabia. Every single one of these countries have themselves been accused of major human rights violations. It sounds like sending the fox to guard the hen house. In Rwanda, the United Nations peacekeepers did nothing to prevent 800,000 Tutsi deaths. In Bosnia, UN peacekeepers failed to protect approximately 8,000 Serbs. In Darfur, some of the worst human rights abuses of recent times continue, despite UN peacekeeper presence. But perhaps the greatest failure of the United Nations is her unfaithfulness to member nations. In 2005, former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan went on record with this pledge of support for Israel. He said, "A United Nations that fails to be at the forefront of the fight against anti-Semitism undermines its future. That obligation binds us to the Jewish people and to the state of Israel." But it was only words, because Israel continues to be the number two enemy of the United Nations. And here's a sad illustration of that. Since 1977, every November 29th, the United Nations has held an international day of solidarity with the Palestinian people. But shamefully, the United Nations waited until January 2005 to commemorate the Holocaust of the Jewish people. The worst tragedy in the history of the world. And they reluctantly recognize it. Let's face it, folks. When Hugo Chavez, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, and Muammar Gaddafi are invited to hold court in the General Assembly, as they did recently, one could hardly consider the UN to be serious about world peace. I cannot tell you how much restraint I have used in this last 5 minutes. You should see the original script. I am not a fan of the United Nations, and it will never, ever accomplish world peace any more than the Tower of Babel could accomplish the New World Order. Now, I have some good news for you. I've talked to you about the ancient appearance of the New World Order, the modern attempt at a New World Order. I want to tell you about the future arrival of a New World Order. Did you know there is a New World Order coming, and it's a good one? In fact, the future New World Order is commonly referred to as the Millennium. Now, what is the Millennium? You all have heard it. Some of you think the Millennium is the period of time during which I'm preaching. No, that's not right. The Millennium is made up of two words, mille and annum, which means 1,000 years. So the Millennium is a period of 1,000 years. And it will take place, now watch this, we're in the period of grace right now. The next event on the scene is the rapture of the church when Christ comes to get all of his saints. Then there's 7 years of tribulation on earth. And at the end of that 7 year tribulation, Christ will come back with his saints and set up his kingdom on this earth. And he will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Six times in Revelation 20, 1 through 7, you will see the words 1,000. After humans have exhausted every way to create peace and to govern themselves apart from God, after they have tried everything from the Tower of Babel to the United Nations, Jesus Christ will come to this earth and set up his government over all nations and peoples, and at last the world will live in peace. I'm going to devote a whole message to that later on, what that's going to be like. But let me just whet your appetite. Many passages in the Old Testament describe this as a period of peace which will extend even to the animal kingdom. Those of you who worry about whether your pets go to heaven, I don't know, but God has a plan for them in the millennium, so hang on. According to the prophet Isaiah, lambs will be able to live in peace with wolves. Goats will live in peace with leopards. Calves will lie down with lions, and cows and bears will be friends. And little children will be able to play near poisonous snakes and not be in danger. You want to read about it? It's in Isaiah 11. This 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, this final arriving new world order, will bring an end to all war. Isaiah 2:4 says, they will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. At last, there will be a time of peace when war will be no longer a term in our discussion. And Jesus Christ will rule and reign over the whole world. The Bible says the millennium will be a time of justice and prosperity. Psalm 72 speaks of the people of righteousness and the poor with justice, and justice being brought to the poor of the people and children of the needy. Psalm 72 tells us that in his days the righteous will flourish and prosperity will abound until the moon is no more. You talk about the good days. God has a plan for us. But he is the only one who can bring it to pass. He is the only one who can create this peace. And one of the things that is happening now is we're just going through the motions of demonstrating for the whole world how impossible it is to have peace without God. During this period of time, we're told that King David will be resurrected from the dead, and he will be a co-regent with Jesus Christ. He will reign alongside of Jesus Christ during the millennium. And not until that time where there'll be a new world order, and any attempt to create world peace before then is doomed to failure. Now, that is an issue that creates some tension for a lot of Christians, and so let me see if I can unravel it. Does the Bible not say that you and I are to be people of peace? In fact, Romans 12:18 puts it this way. Romans 12:18 says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." That is certainly a good instruction given to each of us individually, but it's not a national instruction. Do we want to have peace? Yes. But in a world that is fraught with sinfulness and evil and the desire to control, peace is only possible in a world like ours through strength. We are safe today because we are strong today. As we allow our strength to be taken from us through decisions that are made in order to make us more acceptable to the politic of the world, we will become not more safe, we will become less safe. I have written down in my notes somewhere a little statement somebody gave me years ago that goes like this: prize fighters and linebackers don't get mugged. And you know, it's an important thing for us to remember that the reason we're safe today in this hostile world is not because everybody loves us, but because everybody fears us. And we are safe because we are strong. I hope we never lose sight of that. And we're going to find out in the near future whether or not that will prevail. Should we be men and women of peace? Yes. Should we try to work out peace? But you see, one of the things about peace is peace demands concession. And there is a peace that we can create that gives away everything that's worthwhile to us. And we must be careful that we do not do that. So why is it that we should not pursue a one world order and make it our objective as a nation? Here's the first reason. The new world order promises a peace it can't produce. Did you know that? Worldwide peace, nothing's more longed for than peace. We all want peace. Human wisdom cries out for peace and the only hope for the survival of our world. We all want peace. But there is no peace apart from God. After all the years and all the attempts at peace, we find ourselves at war. We've been at war almost continually. Every peace treaty that's ever been signed, with the exception of a very few that are mostly not even essential anymore, every peace treaty has been broken. Every peace treaty that we sign with other nations, even including NATO, is violated every time you turn around. The world conditions continue to worsen. We are heading toward the promise of a peace by a world dictator who will come and say, "I will provide peace for you." We know him as the Antichrist. And the Bible says he will use peace to manipulate the world. He will promise peace, and by that time everybody will be so hungry for peace, they'll be willing to give away anything. And he will take control of the world. And that false peace will be in its early stages when Jesus Christ comes back for the church. It will fully unfold at the beginning of the tribulation period. And the Apostle Paul describes that like this: when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. The Antichrist will use this false promise of peace to lull the nations asleep while he sets up his reign of terror and destruction. And Daniel says, "By peace he shall destroy many." By peace he shall destroy. This false peace of the Antichrist represents the very best that man can do without Jesus Christ. Isaiah 57:21 says, "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." The problem with setting up a new world order is it promises something it can't deliver. You know why? Because every nation that's in the New World Order is filled with leaders who have corrupt hearts. The Bible says all men are sinful before God. And every man who gets into a place of leadership wants to control. The Bible doesn't say this, but a long time ago, Lord Acton said it. He said, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So the quest for power destroys the possibility of world peace. Secondly, it presumes a unity that is impossible. Everybody wants us all to just get along. Can't we just be one? Back in 1971, John Lennon, megastar John Lennon, wrote a song called Imagine. We probably all sang it, not even knowing what in the world we were doing. And the song asked the listeners to imagine a time when there was no heaven, no hell, no countries, nothing to kill or die for, no religion, no possessions, no need for greed or hunger, living for today, living life in peace, and the world will live as one. Doesn't that sound nice? This popular song captured the attention of an entire generation, and it expressed the utopian dream of a world unified and at peace. Unfortunately, the one thing that was missing that could make it work, and the one thing that kept it from working, is actually the centerpiece of the Constitution of the United States, the sinful nature of man. Jeremiah says it this way, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There can never be peace when evil people are the architects. You've heard me say this before. One of my favorite C.S. Lewis quotings is this, no clever arrangement of rotten eggs will make a good omelet. And that's true. It promises a peace it can't produce. It presumes a unity that is impossible. And then what we're learning is it paves the way for a one-world leader. And we have seen this happen over the years. We've seen it in history. I wish I had time to tell you the story of Germany and what happened in Germany with Hitler. Everywhere you look in history, you find a similar scenario where people get desperate and they look to a leader, and the leader takes advantage of their desperation and their crisis and leads them to an even worse situation than they could ever have imagined. Today, men and women in this world are looking for a leader. They're looking for someone who can make the pain go away, who can put the money back in their portfolios, who can give them a sense that maybe their children will be all right in the next generation. And as many of you know, they care not about the nature or the heart of the leader as long as he can deliver on his promise. And the Bible tells us in Daniel 7 and Revelation 13 that such a leader is coming. He will come upon this world with great charisma. He will be physically attractive, an outstanding orator, a man of great cruelty, and a spiritual bent as a cultic leader, and he will take control of the world, and they will be eating out of his hands. And we know this world leader as the Antichrist. Finally, we cannot pursue a world order today because it promises a peace it can't produce, presumes a unity that's impossible, it paves the way for a one-world ruler, and then fourthly, it produces the roadmap for a global economy. In the midst of our current global financial crisis, Nicolas Sarkozy, president of France, said, "We have attempted for years to achieve something. The crisis must be used as a chance that history does not repeat itself. We need," said Sarkozy, "we need an answer to this crisis." And according to him, that answer is in a man who can help us renew the global framework of our economy. Now, the New World Order is all about the consolidation of power. That's what it's all about. It's about bringing everybody together so that one person can control everything. That only works if the one person is Jesus Christ. You can trust him. He never fails. He never outpromises. He never does not do what he says he will do. He has never before in history sinned. He is the perfect ruler for a new world order. After Jesus, it's a long way down to anybody who would be a world order. And while we are watching what happens in our culture today, We need to be very vigilant as the people of God. Not to just grab hold of the sound good stuff, the feel good stuff, but to step back for a moment and say, is this contributing to our nation or is this contributing to the world? Are we concerned about the world? Yes, but God has called us here. We are in our boundaries, according to Acts 17. We're living in our zone, and this nation has been great because the people of this nation have taken seriously the importance of building a strong nation with integrity that could manage itself in the world. We are not by any means the largest nation, but we are the most powerful nation in the world, and there's a reason for that. We have not been globalists. We have not been internationalists. We have been nationalists. And somehow what's happened to us in these last years is we're losing the sense of our national pride. And people are angry about it. And tea parties are happening everywhere because they begin to sense that we're pulling out of the fabric of our nation the very thing that made it what it is today. When somebody's got to stand up and say, that's enough. We are a nation under God. Do not take that away from us. In God we trust is on our money. Do not take that away from us. And so in these days, as we look out at what's happening, nobody wants to be a critic. I have no desire to trade in my pulpit for a soapbox. But I want to tell you, I'm concerned as a biblical student that we are falling into the trap of the New World Order that will lead us down a pathway toward destruction. Let's ask God to give us wisdom. And let me just conclude with this. Without Jesus Christ, there is no peace. Do we all understand that? Let me tell you what I mean. Without Jesus Christ, there's no peace in the world. Without Jesus Christ, there's no peace in the nation. Without Jesus Christ, there's no peace in the churches. Without Jesus Christ, there's no peace in the family. And without Jesus Christ, there's no peace in your heart. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you can't have peace. Not lasting peace. Oh, you may have moments of the loss of anxiety, but you will never have lasting peace. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. Say that with me. The Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace for the world. He's the Prince of Peace for the nations. He's the Prince of Peace for the churches. He's the Prince of Peace for your family. And He's the Prince of Peace for your heart. And if you don't know Him, it begins at the end of my list. You start finding peace in your heart. And then you discover it starts to bring peace to your family. And then your family becomes a part of a church, and you bring that peace to the church. And the church brings the peace to the nations, and the nations bring the peace to the world. But all of it is centered in Jesus Christ. We honor and glorify Him today. He is the one who is the peacekeeper of the world.
Well, amen.
What a great segment by Dr. David Jeremiah regarding not only the New World Order and the destruction that they are causing and what they are attempting to create that they will never succeed in, but the real important part that touches me here has to do with the peace. The peace that everybody in the world, that everybody in America, that every family, that every marriage, the peace that everybody wants in their life. And that peace can only come from having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I feel so blessed to have Him in my life as a Spirit-filled Christian. And I know what it's like to have that peace. It's an incredible thing. And I can only hope and pray that more people out there will come to understand what made this country great. What made America great? I don't think it was the guns. I don't think it was all the people, because not all of them were righteous men. But this country was founded with God in mind. And that is an incredible thing by itself. But as of late, we have become a godless nation. And you can see it all around us. It's very, very easy to see and look. I could talk for hours and days about the things that are happening around the world and in America, and the destruction that is currently going on and where we are headed. And I can assure you, it is not a good thing. And if there was ever a time that you needed to have Jesus Christ in your life, to have a personal relationship with Him, to talk with Him, to pray to Him, to worship Him, because He does deserve worship. This time of the year is especially true for that, because He did give all of us a gift. And some of us have, in years past, already opened up that gift and found that it was salvation through His Son, through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And we can only pray that many more will open up their gifts this year and in the coming months and years, and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want to remind everybody that we will not be having our usual Saturday evening program tomorrow night, which is Saturday, December 22nd, because it is so close to Christmas. I know a lot of people have things going on as well as myself. I'd like to take 2 minutes here, 2 minutes and 6 seconds to be exact, and let you listen to some of the greatest Christmas violin music that you will ever hear. This is called Carol of the Bells, and it's by Molly Rogers. Thank you. That was Carol of the Bells by Molly Rogers. We are talking this evening about the New World Order and as Christians, where we fit into that. I think we fit into it by trying to keep our country strong would probably be a great place to start. And not worrying so much about the rest of the world, because there are many other people within the conglomeration of the New World Order that have their sights set on the New World Order. And even as I speak, there are people around the world, and especially even in America, that are being killed, murdered. And many, many, many Americans don't understand how that could be done or how that is happening. But all you need to do is a small amount of research, look around you a little bit. Just a few examples of how the New World Order is killing people without having a war in America is the pharmaceutical industry. If you watch TV at all, and I try not to watch too much, but on occasion I do watch a football game, or maybe a comedy. I don't watch a lot of television, but even the little bit of television that I do watch, there is always ads on there about drugs in reference to class action lawsuits, because the Food and Drug Administration has allowed the pharmaceutical industry to put drugs on the market that have not been fully and completely tested. And the side effects of many of these, if not all, are worse than what they actually control. And I will use the word control, because there are very, very few drugs that actually cure anything when it comes to the pharmaceutical industry or even the medical industry. Antibiotics can cure infections, but there is literally nothing. I mean, you don't see when you go to the doctors, you don't see them having a cure for cancer, for diabetes, for heart disease. All of these are leading causes of death of Americans within the United States, although they will offer you drugs to control the symptoms of those. And I can tell you right now that nutrition is a much better way to go than just controlling. It's like having arthritis. You know, when your body has pain, when you have a pain somewhere, whether it's in your ankle or your knee, your body's telling you something. It's telling you there's a problem here. We need to get this fixed. Stop using me until you get this fixed. And it is criminal. It is sinful that doctors and the pharmaceutical industry give us drugs to control the pain, when the pain does nothing. And there are cures out there for these things. Along with those industries, you have inflation. You have two banks in the entire world that literally control the world's banking industry. You have the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. And, of course, you have Mr. Ben Bernanke, who prints money like it's water running out of a water faucet. And he is still purchasing mortgage-backed securities at a rate of $40 billion per month. And he says that he will do that until the unemployment rate changes for the better. And I can assure you that spending that kind of money on mortgage-backed securities is not in the interest of the American people. But I guess many, many people are just happy with being able to walk outside and see a snowflake or a bird, or that their car or truck starts, and that they can hear a joke that day. And they need to be concerned about a lot more. Because the time is coming, I can assure you. We are, and I'm not going to make any predictions because no one knows when the hour or the minute is that Christ will return. But I can assure you, if you look at the book of Revelation, and if you popped over several newspapers, you would see that there are many, many things within the newspapers that coincide with what is currently prophesied in the book of Revelation and the return of Christ. One of those things is a very, very large building that was built over in Iraq, which in olden days, which is where Babylon was. That building is used by people for monetary uses mostly. Another thing that you can see in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation is that the church, because the one world order that they are trying to attempt, they want to try and achieve a one world currency, a one world church. And these will be out of three different cities. But getting back to what Mr. Bernanke is doing currently with buying mortgage-backed securities is nothing more than taking people's homes away from them, as people cannot keep paying for their homes. And then our government, which has sold those mortgage-backed securities to Wall Street's, and they have bundled them and sold them as investment-grade mortgages around the world. It is nothing but the downfall of America, along with many, many, many other things that are currently going on. You just need to do a little research and it's all there. I've been talking about it since 2006, and I just stopped about 2 months ago and changed the format of my show from political and economic issues to a Christian format, because I feel it is so much more important that we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in our life. I can witness to you that He has made a great, great change. He has been a loving, helpful God within my life for over 38 years. And I could do several shows just witnessing to the love that He has. And God does love everyone, but not everyone is in the family of God. The Lord's Prayer says, "Our Father." And when it says that, then that would mean that we are His children. We are part of His family. Because if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, that's all that is required to be in the family of God. And I'm sure all or most of you have done that, and I would urge you to, if you have not, to look into that. It's not real hard to do. I am going to play another song here because it is that time of the year again. This is probably the best rendition of Silent Night that you may ever hear. It is by Stevie Nicks, and I hope you will enjoy this, and we'll be back right after this. That was an excellent rendition of Silent Night by Stevie Nicks. I'd like to remind everybody again that we will not be having our usual Saturday evening show tomorrow night because it is so close to the holidays, and I'm sure that many people have obligations, including myself. But we will be back the following week on Friday and Saturday with some great inspiration about Jesus Christ and information about what is going on in your world as well. I'd like to remind everybody that during this Christmas season, please remember, it's not about you. It's not about who you know. It's not about what you've done. But it's about how you live. And I'd like to remind everybody, if you can get a chance to go out and spend an hour or two with somebody in a nursing home or an assisted living or somebody, a friend that you haven't seen sometime and that may be handicapped, or just to help somebody, to show some kindness, let the Spirit of Christ shine through you, because they will know you by your works. It's an amazing thing. We're going to close this evening's show out because this is a one-hour show tonight, and I would like to close it out with another one of my favorite songs by Janie Fricke. This is called In a Moment. Take care, everyone.
Count all the lonely hours spent with men.
happy holidays to everyone, and many blessings upon you and yours. Please go out and share some love with somebody today. Take care, and we'll see you next week right here. Same time, same channel. God bless. Bye-bye.